This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister and co-pilot, Mary. How are you doing, Bear?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about you?
I'm all right, getting in the Christmas spirit. And today we're back covering The Office, Season 4, Episodes 5 and 6.
Yep.
And these were okay episodes.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it.
Yeah, they were okay. But before we jump into there, I want you to go and tell us what we covered last week.
Absolutely. So last week, we talked about episodes 3 and 4, Launch Party and Money. So in Launch Party, it was the launch of Ryan's brainchild, Dunder Mifflin Infinity. Dwight challenged the computer to beat more, or to like sell more paper. They kidnapped a pizza delivery boy because pizza by Alfredo sucks.
Yes.
And it's hot garbage, a circle of garbage. Meanwhile, Alfredo's Pizza Cafe has a good pizza.
I like, we still have the post-it note in here to denote which
yes,
one.
Yes, I had to.
That's hilarious.
I had to. But Michael kidnaps the delivery boy, holds him hostage, and then realizes after like 3 hours being on the screen, like Ryan dials in and it's like a webcam, and he's like, "My salesman, be your computer, take that, asshole."
Yeah.
And he finally realizes, like, "Oh shit, I did hold a minor hostage."
He's
for
guilty
several
of kidnapping.
Hours. Yeah, so he releases him, and that's Launch Party.
Yep.
And then Money was Money was Jim and Pam went to Dwight's Shroot Farm.
Shroot Farm.
He has like an inn.
Yeah.
He has an inn that he's running. And Michael finally like kind of admits that he's broke. He is so far in debt. He announces it to the entire office by declaring bankruptcy. He says that it's Jan spending all of his money, and we find the we saw the softer side of Jan, where she's like, "You know what? You stood up next to me when I was at my bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stand next to you while you're at your bottom.
We're going
to
get through it together."
Yep. Yeah. And he asked her to keep her boobs.
Yeah. Don't turn those in for
Don't
profit.
Turn those in. Yep.
Well, that's another thing, is he had a second job that he quit in a call center.
Oh, yeah. He was selling weight loss.
Yeah,
pills.
Ephedra,
yeah.
Okay.
Ephedrine.
So that catches us up to speed here. And, I mean, I think we both really liked Money.
Yes.
Our
Money was fantastic.
Our opinions on Launch Party were not, they were very.
I liked
You
Launch
liked it,
Party.
I didn't. But Money was great.
Yeah.
So that brings us to this week, where we're covering episodes 5 and 6 of season 4. And the first one you're going to be doing is Local Ad.
Absolutely.
So do you want to do it?
Let's take it away, Kev.
All right,
so we open with a cold open, and they're in the conference room. Everybody's yelling. Like, it's super exciting. Because he's like, "Go ahead, Phyllis." She's like, "Dancing babies." Like, he was really pumped up. Like,
everybody's excited.
Yeah,
even Stanley had his hands down for this crossword puzzle.
Yeah, like, we felt really excited going into it. And then Michael explains that corporate sent a few ad guys to come down. They're doing a commercial for Dunder Mifflin Infinity, and it's going to run like on all of the local stations. Andy, for whatever reason, sings the Kit Kat bar song, "Give Me a Break," and he cannot remember what the actual brand is for.
Yeah.
He says applesauce, Chrysler cream,
Chrysler car,
yeah. Football cream.
And Michael goes, "Yeah, football cream." Yeah. Michael just like agrees with him at one point.
And, you know, like, Pam is like, "Oh, well, I'm taking, like, an art animation class. I can help out." And he very condescendingly says, like, "Oh, so even the receptionist is going to get on the game."
Yes.
So now the ad agency guys show up, and Michael's introducing them around the office. And he basically thinks, like, "All right, my staff is going to star in this commercial, so you have to get to know them."
And that they would have, like, creative freedom to create their own commercial.
Yeah, yeah, that's his idea. That's why the dancing babies were shouted out.
All I think of is that 90s screensaver with the dancing baby.
Absolutely. Ooga chaka.
She's doing like a, I don't even know what kind of, the Blue Meanie dance?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But like he's walking around and he's like, "Oh, this is Andy Bernard, the Nard Dog." And then he says our urban feel, Stanley Hudson.
Yeah. His urban vibe.
Yeah, and Stanley's like, "What about me?" says urban. "I grew up in a small town, like you asshole." He introduces Phyllis as basically the white Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, he says Mrs. Butterworth.
Yeah, the Aunt Jemima that's not as good. And then he goes over to the accountants and he's talking about their weight. Like, you might want to do a mama bear, papa bear, baby bear type of thing.
Kevin points at Hoskins and goes, mama bear. Yeah. This is awesome.
And then we see Jim, he does like a stupid talking head, like, yeah. Oh, people don't know what we sell, so it's a good thing there's a commercial. Like, people think we sell muffins or mittens, which is better than paper.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
Jim's
Jim.
Too cool for the room, man.
Yeah, cool, Jim. So then we see Dwight playing a game called Second Life, which I kind
Sims?
Of equate to The Sims. Yeah, I never played The Sims. I don't know if you did.
No, I'm not a gamer by any means.
Yeah, so he's playing this game, and basically he said he started playing a year ago when his life was so good he quite literally wanted to have a second life. he's the same. He's Dwight. He's a paper salesman.
What's his last name? His last name is different. It's like Sheldonson or something? Or
yeah, he like Swank? Changed that. I think it's like Swank or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I didn't denote that, so I apologize.
I read it but didn't write it.
But he said that it's basically the same as his real life, except he can fly.
And, it shows and he a, does. He's like holding his briefcase, like flying around. But like the Pacific Ocean is there. It's very nice. Very nice.
So now Michael's in the office with these ad guys, and he pitches his idea. And I mean, like some of his, it's just like ridiculous. Like you zoom out. And it's a girl holding a sunflower. You zoom out, and she's in an oasis in the desert. And he just keeps doing that.
It's basically the end of Men in Black.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep zooming out, you know what I mean? That's basically what it is.
You're right. And, like, but, like, the guys actually showed him their idea. And he's like, well, this is what Nashua did. Mm-hmm. And it shows this guy going through, like, a Staples or an Office Max. And he's trying to find somebody to help him. And everybody's just running away from him, essentially.
And they got the nerdiest guy with the dumbest
face. Oh, my God,
face.
The dumbest face of all time. Like,
whoever this guy is, he's got the dumbest
hey,
face.
Hey, you're such a bad actor. You're going to be an actor in a commercial on the TV show for the other actors to make fun of.
He looks like he got slapped with a wet stalk of celery. Like, his face. He just looks dumb. Poor guy. He's probably some actor trying to make a living. He's like a waitress out, or a waiter. He's a waiter out in LA or something now. But
my God.
He just looks like a goofy motherfucker.
Yep. But, so the guys are just like, hey, so this is what we've been doing. And then at the end, you see, like, the Nashua staff, like, waving at the camera that's above their heads. And Michael's like, that's what Nashua came up with? That's friggin' awful. Like, I hate it. And the guys are like, no. That's what we came up with, and that has to stay the same. It's the last 5 seconds that you can change.
Yeah. That's when Michael realized, like, he can't be creative. Like, all those juices that were pumping through everybody, like, it's basically they have 5 seconds to point at a camera.
Yeah,
and he's, like, crestfallen about it.
Yeah. So now we see Andy and Dwight, and Andy is telling Dwight, basically, like, him and Angela have literally been necking. Not making out. Yes. Like, they're nuzzling their necks next to each other. Yes.
She's a human cat.
Yes.
Essentially.
And so Andy's asking Dwight, like, how do I get to first base? And
his conversation is so stupid.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's like a bunch of, like, freshman boys in the locker
Honestly,
room.
Honestly, it was awful. And Dwight's like, I don't want to talk about this right now. Like, people can hear us. Mm-hmm. And Andy's like, well, what if we change the names? And Dwight's like, yes, yes. Angela can stay the same. And why don't we change Andy to Dwight? And he goes, that's still pretty similar. And he's like, Dwight?
Dwight.
So then we go out. And we just see this random woman popping her head in a door, and she's saying, you have a call from Eddie Murphy, yeah. And it's Ryan's receptionist, and it's Michael going, Shrek, I'm a donkey!
Great Eddie Murphy impression.
He was imitating the donkey from Shrek, and he basically is calling Ryan to complain about the ad guys and wants his creativity to shine, and Ryan's like, no. You are not creative. Let the creative professionals be creative. And he's just like, take it from me. Like, I wasn't good at sales, but I'm good at managing people who make sales. And Mike, like, chortles.
Yeah,
that's the only way I can describe it. He chortles. But Michael also, like, says, like, it's a really convoluted conversation because Ryan's like, listen, just because you like to cook doesn't mean you'd open a restaurant. And Michael's like, have been rolling around that idea. Mike's cereal shack.
Those are real things, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know how I found out about it? So me and the GF, as I call her affectionately, we were going through the one night after work. We were just like skipping around TV, seeing what's on. Because Food Network was not playing the holiday wars that I was into. And we came across the show, I believe it was on E! Network, where, like, weird people sit on a couch and watch other people's dates. And this one guy took a gal to a cereal shack. This is so West Coast. You go in there, and a guy pours you, like, Lucky Charms.
Jesus Christ. And it
was, like, the dumbest thing I ever saw. I'm like, adults, go into a shop, pay probably $10 for a tattooed dude barista to pour them bowls.
A cereal barista.
Yeah, to pour them, pour them bowls of Trix and Cheerios. Or if you're, Total, if you're looking for your cholesterol or whatever. And you sit there.
Cap'n Crunch has never tasted better.
You're sitting there with, like, this purple bowl, like you're a little kid with, like, the straws that are all fucking twirly and that. Like, what is, like, this is the saddest thing I ever heard.
I think that's called nostalgia, Kevin.
I think it's funny because Michael thinks it's a good idea. Showing that it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But yet it's become this successful business venture that people are taking their female companions out on dates.
Yep.
If I was a guy, I would not take a woman to a cereal shack.
If you were a guy?
If I were a guy on a date, if I were a single guy, I would not take a
woman. Your GF is very lucky to have you.
She knows I would never take her out for cereal.
And she would probably love it.
She would love cereal. You kidding me? She'd be like, Count Chocula, please.
She does not sound like Danny DeVito. She
doesn't listen to the cast either. It's okay.
Anyway, so Michael claims that, we get a talking head of him after him and Ryan disconnect, and he claims that he was so creative that when he was 5, he imagined unicorns before he'd ever seen them. And it's just ridiculous. So then Michael goes and he basically tells...
Is that when he says, this talking head, that he imagined all of this and it was 5 years old, it was before he could even talk?
Yes. Yes, I forgot about that part. Before I could even talk. Yes.
Awesome.
So then we basically see Michael like go into the ad guys like, no, we're not doing that. And they don't even want to argue with them.
They're just like,
no,
you're not worth it.
Yeah. So then David Wallace is calling him. And Michael's like, David, Ryan's being a bitch again. And Ryan's like, hey, Michael, I'm on. What up, my brother?
He just calls him a bitch. So dismissive.
He's being a bitch.
That's
again.
2 weeks now. Michael called him an asshole last week and a bitch this week. And Mike, there's like no, like there's
no repercussions
at all for doing that to his like
his boss.
Supervisor.
So Michael explains that he wants to make the commercial with his ideas, and he basically tells David, like, listen. I will send you my cut tomorrow, and if you don't like it, we will bring the ad guys back on my dime. Which, he's broke.
Yes.
He has no money to pay these ad people.
At all.
At all. So
my favorite is David's response.
This is weird.
This is weird.
I'll see it tomorrow. he green lights it. He's like, this is very weird, but all right, let's see what happens, Michael.
It's so awesome.
And I'm like, that's why I love David Wallace.
Because he's the straight man.
He is. It's amazing. So Michael goes out and he's explaining to the office, you're all creative and we're going to be making our own commercial, essentially. And Kevin says that he's used to being in commercials because in high school he used to be called the Kool-Aid Man.
And then he does this face.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like the Kool-Aid. Like, he tucks his teeth away.
I think he tried to do the Kool-Aid Man.
Well, he tried to, but, like, he ends up looking like a happy dog.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, one of those dogs who, like, that you see memes of them where their head's out the window. They're, like, their eyes are closed, but they're smiling dopey.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what he looks like.
Like,
he looks like Achilles.
Achilles. My baby.
Who's not here today.
He's not in the studio tonight.
We kicked him out. He's out in the cold.
Yeah, he's
tied him up out back.
He's out in the cold with my husband on the couch with 3 blankets on him. Christ. So anyway, Oscar says that when he was younger, he didn't want to be an actor. And then he realized he had a brain.
Oscar, in these 2 episodes, like, starting with that line, comes across as a total bitch. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's really, like, douchey in these 2 episodes. But I kind of, like, an endearing way when you
I understand what you mean, Oscar. I would be Oscar.
If I was working in this line of, like, with these people for this amount of time, I'd probably be the same way.
I would probably be Oscar. Yeah. pretty much. And then Meredith comes in and says that she's not used to making videos with so many people being there, which we'll leave that to your imagination, sex tapes.
I was going to say, to go back to a previous episode, they're only of the back of her head.
Yes.
Delightful.
So then Phyllis is assigned, like Michael assigns everybody different tasks for the commercial. Kelly gets makeup. Oscar gets costumes, obviously.
Obviously.
And he just looks at the camera straight face like, Jesus Christ. And Phyllis has to find a famous person to be in it. And then Phyllis literally jumps up out of her seat. And she's like, Sue Grafton is at the Steamtown Mall doing book signing.
Is Sue Grafton a real...
She is. I looked it up. She is the author of detective novels.
Oh, so like, what's that one? The Hardy Boys or something like that?
I mean, I guess along the lines of that. I didn't look up what she's actually
written. Nancy Drew?
But she is an older woman, which plays into the next scene pretty well.
Oh,
because
yeah,
Andy goes, is she hot? And Creed's like, oh, yeah, she is. She looks like she's like 60.
I've never seen it.
At least.
Oh, wow. She's up Creed's alley.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm like,
total
okay.
Total smoke show. I can just like, amazing.
So Phyllis gets excited, and she goes down to the Steamtown Mall to try to get her to be in the commercial.
Which, I will say, the Steamtown Mall used to have celebrities.
They did,
like,
yes.
There was a thing going around on Twitter other day that old professional wrestler Marty Jannetty was there at one point.
Jesus
and they
Christ.
Misspelled his name on the flyer. But also, Rainn Wilson did a...
The Office has come, like, they've done conventions in Scranton, yeah. And, like, some of the cast members will come down. I think Kevin Malone has come.
Yeah, he's been there.
Quite a few times.
Think Hannah Montana, before she, like, really blew up.
Miley Cyrus?
I think Hannah Montana was there.
Huh.
I'm, like, 78% yeah. sure. I'm close, but...
All right.
But there you go. People do go, so like a book signing is not like out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially during this time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the mall was still...
There were still more
than 7 stores in the mall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a ghost town now.
The local college has like a campus in the mall.
They do. There's like a gym. There's like a fucking urgent care.
Yeah.
It's not your classic mall
there's
anymore.
There's dentistry.
Yeah.
That's where Abercrombie used to be. It's a dentist office.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I just imagine like the fucking hygienists are like shirtless.
Oh,
they come
my
out
God.
With like scarves on.
They spray you with cologne as they walk by. Jesus Christ. All right. So anyway, Andy uses this as a stepping stone to try to compliment Angela, because he's like, oh, she's hot. Just use Angela. Nobody will know the difference. Then we get a talking head of Angela, which I think really shines on her character right now.
I didn't write it down, but I know
and
what you're talking about.
She says, I find the mystery genre disgusting. I hate being titillated, which is my favorite use of the word titillated.
And she like enunciated every letter of the
titillated.
Word. Titillated.
Yes. She was disgusted. I will give her that. So then we see a quick thing of Dwight playing Second Life again. But then we go back into the annex, and Daryl, Kevin, Creed, Andy, and Kelly are back there making up a song. Dunder Mifflin, the people, persons, paper, people.
Oh, you got it.
That's I did like a not tongue do twister. The tune.
That is a tongue twister.
Yeah, definitely.
Dunder Mifflin, the people, papa, people,
the
paper.
People, persons, paper, people.
The people, persons, paper, people.
It's like one eye, one horn, people eater.
But Daryl's on the keyboard
like
fucking Stevie Wonder. And like the four of them are around him.
They're all like, Kelly's like moving her arms like.
At one point during the intro, Creed's doing air guitar.
Yeah. But if you look in the back, Kevin's doing drums like to try to keep time.
They're like the Electric Mayhem of acapella.
It's ridiculous. So then Michael's like, I was under the impression that this would be a rap.
Yes, the racism comes.
Yes.
The casual racism.
But Daryl, I love, what's rap? And Michael says, you need to learn more about your culture. I'm going to make you a mix. Which I can only imagine what a Michael Scott rap mix
is. With
a
lot of Sugar Hill Gang and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
I feel like the Gorillaz would be on there.
No, he's not a Gorillaz guy.
That was on the TV or on the radio a lot, though.
And, well, if we're going back to the time frame.
Yeah.
No, not Feel Good Inc.
Feel Good Inc.
Funny story about Feel Good Inc.
Okay.
So that song came out and I go, Feel Good, dude. Mm-hmm. For years, up until about 3 years ago, our brother Oz, who co-hosted the show, I had him believe, and he used to sing.
No.
He thought that instead of Feel Good, they said, Milk Duds.
No.
For years, he'd go, Milk Duds, whenever he saw that song was on.
Poor Oz.
It was so stupid.
He's so much younger than
I know. But you know what? It sounds so similar that it was like, Milk Duds.
It does.
It's seamless.
It does, yeah. Actually.
But no, I could see, like, I'm thinking Michael's more like the 80s and like the clean, like, parents just don't understand, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Like all I want to do is zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
You know, I can guarantee one song on a Michael Scott rap mix. The Thong Song.
Brian Austin Green.
What?
Nothing.
The Thong Song.
Yes, I know. Cisco.
Yeah.
The thong, thong, thong.
That's a Michael Scott song.
All right. Anyway, we're singing a lot in this
episode.
There's
a lot of musicality in this
Sorry, guys. But so, anyway... Then Andy tells Dwight that Operation Fallen Angel, which apparently is what he named the Angela situation.
Which is a wonderful name.
Right? Has a juicy update. I'm not going to lie, and I literally notated this, while watching the scene and hearing him, seeing him say that line of dialogue, I physically out loud went, oh, God.
It's not an appealing man.
Like, not at all. Like... It's got a juicy update, and I was just like, oh, ew.
Some tongue action from the nard dog.
I was, like, physically...
Yeah,
like,
you're repelled.
Yeah, like, I recoiled from my iPad while I was watching it. So, anyway.
Yes.
Pam is animating. She's doing her animation on her computer, mm-hmm. and Jim comes up, and he shows her Second Life, and he explains how Dwight's Second Life has created his own second life within the game.
Yes.
And
to get even further removed from reality.
Yes. And then Pam sees Jim's avatar. She's like, this looks a lot like you.
I'm glad to see that Jim got his balls busted here.
Right? And she's like, oh, Jim is a sports writer in Philly, and he has a guitar on his back. I didn't know you played guitar. And he's like, oh, let's go back to your animation. And she's like, I want Philly Jim. I want Philly Jim.
She's like, you gave yourself a nice build, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, Jim's a nerd.
Yes.
Bust his balls, please.
Exactly. So then Daryl and team, we go back to them in the annex, and they're basically showing Michael, like, the only way I can describe this one is a barbershop quartet type of song.
Yeah, it's slower, much slower
Dunder
than the other one.
Mifflin. But then, like, they all join in. The paper person's people, like, you know what I mean.
Yes,
I can't
I
do it in quick succession.
Yeah, fuck it.
But... Michael literally says, I hate it. And Daryl walks out. He takes his keyboard. He's like, you know what, Mike? You said you hated it. I'm done. I'm done. And Michael's trying to convince him, like, I don't hate it. And he's like, you said it. You hated it. So then we go back, and Andy is still, like, singing, like, the Kit Kat song. And he's just going through so many options.
There
I
was
couldn't
one
even
that,
write them
yeah,
down.
There was one that blew my mind. I think it's later on. Mm-hmm. He says Snickers bar. Like he's
so
like,
close.
Right there.
So close.
Yeah.
But he's wearing running clothes.
Yes.
I did notice he did not have his nipples.
No bloody nipples. I have that in parentheses here. No bloody nips.
So, and Meredith has like a red, white, and blue streamer. Mm-hmm. She's very carefully... pulling from the exterior wall of the building. Michael comes out, rips it down, and he's like, this looks terrible. This is a pivotal scene. We're going to lose the whole commercial, blah, blah, blah. And then Phyllis arrives, sobbing.
Her makeup is running.
Running, yeah. Crying. And she explains that she got kicked out of the book signing because she asked Sue Grafton to be in the commercial. She said no. And she said, but I was told not to take no for an answer. And Michael's like, good girl. Did you get her? And she's like, no. And he's like, Jesus. Well, Jesus, Phyllis. Take care of her. Clean her up. Give her a tissue.
And she also says, I got kicked out in front of
all my friends.
Oh,
poor Phyllis. So then we see Pam is deciding to stay late to finish the animation. And that Jim has to stay home with Meredith. Drive home with Meredith, sorry.
Yep.
So then we see the next day, Pam's asleep on her keyboard, and Jim calls her desk to wake her up, and Creed snatched her hash browns.
Yeah, he got her an Egg McMuffin.
Yeah, orange juice. It was really sweet, actually.
It was cute.
And she explains that she got done working at 2:45 in the morning. Michael was still editing in his office, and Dwight was sleeping to support Michael editing in his office.
He's covered in couch cushions.
The couch was, like, moved forward. It was pushed forward, and the cushions were on top of
him. He was using the cushions as blankets.
Very strange.
It's kind of like when we used to make forts as kids.
No, I get that, but the couch was, like, completely turned on its front. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, did he, like, fall off of the couch?
It was like a lean-to. It was a lean-to shelter.
Yeah. So... Pam said that she was trying to figure out whether she should drive home and die in a fiery crash because she would fall asleep or stay with them, and she fell asleep contemplating this on her keyboard. So then we see Dwight, like, almost asleep on the vending machine.
He's going all tired.
And did you notice what was in there? Little Smidgens.
Were Smidgens
Grocery Talks. It was the Little Smidgens where the box is like a house.
Yes.
Yes. They were in there for only $2.
That's
too.
A fucking steal. They don't... Oh, God.
They don't sell that shit for $2.
Smidgens are delightful, delectable chocolate treats filled with peanut butter, caramel.
Caramel.
The caramel caramel thing will never not kill me.
Caramel. Raspberry cheesecake filling. Like,
almonds. Wait, really don't they? Not good. Almonds. Almonds. There's some kind of nut filling.
Yeah, peanut.
No, not peanut. But, oh, fuck it. I'll figure it out. Toffee?
Oh, maybe toffee. Or anyway. Almond toffee is a chocolate bar.
Oh, okay, fine.
So that's what you're thinking. Anyway. So anyway.
But Andy comes in with some Wegman soda to pour a bit of the bubbly.
Yes. Thank God. This entire scene is ridiculous. So he comes and explains that he got to a new level with Angela last night, that they were making out. And he was kissing her neck and her earlobe, and she closed her eyes and goes, "Oh, D, oh, D." And Dwight looks up at him.
Lights up like a tree, man.
And he's like, "Oh, she called you D?" And he goes, "Yeah, for Andy." And Dwight's like, "Oh my God, that's great. Oh, D." And they start cheering.
For like a minute, it's just, "Oh, D."
In unison, just like that.
Just yelling, "Oh, D," at each other and laughing.
Exactly. But Dwight knows that's because that's what Angela says to him.
She's monkey. He's D.
Yeah. Oh, also, did you notice what magnet was on the vending machine?
Oh, no.
A Scranton Wilkes-Barre Yankees magnet.
Yankees? Oh, yeah, the Yankees were there at that time.
Yep, and it had the fucking 570 phone number, had the website, everything. It was a legit Scranton Wilkes-Barre Yankees magnet.
Those Yankees won the Governor's Cup, the AAA. Well, I'm just saying there were some future Yankee legends on that 2017.
Oh.
Brett Gardner, probably. You don't know Brett Gardner? Brett the Hitman Gardner? Left fielder, New York Yankees. He's been there since 2008, 2009 maybe.
You guys can't see it, but I'm giving him an empty expression.
Brett Gardner is a delightful, great player. He has very little arm strength. He's kind of a pussy when it comes to that. But the dude is like fast as lightning. He's like this on base machine for the Yankees. He's a quality defender, bad arm. He's starting to hit for power in his old age, which is kind of suspicious. But the thing with Brett is that he has the biggest fucking head I've ever seen on a guy. You know, remember Gazoo from the Flintstones?
Oh,
the
green
guy?
Oh, my God.
When he wears his batting helmet, he looks like the great Gazoo.
Jesus Christ.
Head is fucking massive. Jesus. But this past season, he slammed his helmet down. He was all pissed off.
Roid rage.
Perhaps. But it flew back and hit him in the head. He had to get stitches.
Oh, my God.
And his massive melon. Jesus. But anyway, the Scranton Yankees were a great squad. Yeah. I mean, the Yankees affiliate is still there. They're not the Yankees anymore. They're the Rail Riders.
Yeah.
They're not, they changed
they're
the
name. They're not called the Baby Yankees
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, they changed the name to be more in tune with the local population. Yeah. But, you know, they're still there. I'm glad to see the local flavor still.
Yeah.
Not just Red Baron stuff.
Exactly. So now we see Michael sends off his commercial to corporate. And
he looks like shit.
Dude,
his hair is all disheveled.
Yeah. He is like, you can tell he has been there all day.
His
night.
Eyes are dark circles. Like, oh, it's great.
He asks Pam to clear his phone lines, which she pretends to beep, beep, boop.
And he accepts it.
He does. He's like, thank you, Pam. Thank you. Because he's waiting for feedback from corporate. Now we see Michael arrive at the office, and it says 10 days later.
10 days later.
Exactly, like SpongeBob, 10 days later. Mm-hmm. Corporate denied his commercial.
Yep.
And they're airing the other one tonight.
Yeah, it's the debut of the Dunder Mifflin commercial.
And I believe he says something along the lines of a creative void. Something along those lines about corporate. So Now they're at the bar. They don't specify which
Poor
bar.
Poor Richard. Yeah, he walks in. It's on Poor Richard.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yeah. I must have missed that.
Didn't you see the claw machine in the back?
Oh, my God.
No, he walked in. It was Poor Richard's.
Oh, okay. Now, the bartender is trying to be nice, and we watch the other commercial, and, you know, we see everybody waving at the end, and the guy's That's like, yeah, that was nice. Like, that was good, blah, blah, blah. And Jim goes up and hands him a disc, and he goes, can you play this one? Now, we see the commercial that Michael put all of that time and effort in
Jim
that one
Jim announces to everybody, this is the director's cut, everybody.
Yeah, the real Dunder Mifflin commercial.
Yeah.
Now, it starts off, I didn't write everything step by step.
I wrote the things that I thought were funniest.
Yeah, so I did, like, little parts of each scene. Mm-hmm. So it starts with a corporate memo, and it shows everybody in the office passing it around. Creed creates a paper airplane, and it flies. Poor Toby. It's the only time he's in the entire
thing. It buzzes Toby's
thing.
Head.
Yeah. But then we see Kelly in front of the Taj Mahal dressed in a sari.
Oh, my God. They put the fucking background up, and
God.
She's all dressed.
She's in her fancy sari.
It's so wonderful.
And she catches it, and she throws it. Like, she opens it up, and it says, I love you. She throws it. Andy's racing. Like, she rolls
she hands
it up,
it like a
and
baton.
It's like a baton.
Andy
yeah.
takes it.
And Andy's racing. The Scranton Times has Andy on the front that says, local boy wins big race. Dwight hands Phyllis a piece of paper that says, I have bad news, you have a son and I'm him.
Yeah, I don't think it says bad news, that's what Michael's...
Oh, yeah.
Michael's doing a voiceover through the whole thing.
Yeah, talking about how paper ties into every person's life,
yeah.
essentially. Then, the paper flies out of Dwight and Phyllis's hands, and we see it land on the side of the road.
This is the best part of the whole thing.
Stanley is in an orange jumpsuit, like he's a convict.
But his tie and
but his
suit
tie
are coming out of the top. He didn't
yes.
even change.
Nope. And he's picking up garbage on the side of the road.
As an inmate.
And he picks it up. And you see it just says, like, Dunder Mifflin hiring now.
Yeah.
And then it shows him putting the piece of paper on Jim's desk. And he's dressed in a suit. And, it, like, Michael's over... overview is saying like something about opportunity
mm-hmm.
and then Jim crumples it up and throws it behind his back. Michael takes it out of the garbage can, puts it up on the wall, and it says most creative boss. And then at the end Pam's animation comes
yeah,
in.
It's nice
and it was really cool actually. Yeah. And Michael said Dunder Mifflin, the paper people in a paperless world or something like that.
The limitless paper in a paperless world.
Unlimited paper in a paperless world. Yeah. That's it. And, like, Jim is... Everybody cheers and everybody's loving that they got to see themselves on TV. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jim's, like, really proud of Pam's animation. He's like, hey, do you like that animation? This girl right here. The bartender hits on Pam. He's like, you ever been on a motorcycle?
That's all he said.
And
awesome.
Jim just puts his arm around him and he walks away. Like, yeah. doesn't even... Like, he's like, I shot my... shoot my shot, whatever. Yeah. But everybody loves it. And then our ending shot is Andy still not being able to figure out what the fuck the Kit Kat bar song is. And he goes, it's got to rhyme with peace. So break me off a piece of that fancy feast.
Fancy feast.
That's it.
Also, Michael buys a round of drinks for everyone in the bar. Still not
oh,
learning
yeah. he's
his
totally,
money lessons.
He's totally broke.
His money lessons.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And that's how we ended it. So, dude, what did you think?
I gave this episode a 3.5.
Okay.
And it's not... There was nothing that I disliked in this episode. I thought it was just a funny episode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it wasn't like knock your ass out funny. Like it was.
Did
just,
you copy my notes today, sir?
No, why? Would
I
you...
literally put 3.7.
Oh, okay.
And I said a good episode. It didn't have me laughing hysterically, but it had laughs, good laughs throughout.
Uh-huh.
When there needed to be, it moved the story along, and it's just a solid episode.
Yeah, it's just, like, and there's no shame in that. Like,
no.
Not everyone has to be a home run. As long
exactly.
as you avoid being a bad episode, I'm happy.
Exactly.
And that's what this was. This was a perfectly fine, funny episode.
Yeah.
There was not really any lulls.
No,
for the most
it was
part.
Pretty
it
consistent
moved.
Throughout. It felt a lot faster than last
yeah,
week's episode.
This one, a lot, see, and this is what I love about the 21-minute ones. It's a lot more cohesive because they don't have to draw things out.
Exactly.
So there's not, this one, it got the point across in each scene and moved on to the next one. There's not like this long monologues or
mm-hmm.
dialogue or like people navel gazing and staring at each
exactly.
other.
Exactly.
It was just rapid fire. It kept moving. It flew by. Like,
it did.
When it was over, I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, it's over already.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like, it blew my door off.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just like, great. This is awesome. This is what I want to get back to.
Yeah.
Because it entertained me. I have no problems with it
no.
at all. And there was a
everybody
lot of
was involved.
Everybody was involved. That,
yeah.
From the first scene when they're all in the conference room to the end when they're all in the commercial. That
yep.
It's like a perfect.
It's a Mary Poppins, practically perfect
yeah.
in every way.
It's just a perfect ensemble show.
Yeah.
And that's what this,
it was really well balanced.
That's when this is at its best, I think, the
yeah.
show. But like I said, it wasn't like knockout. Like there wasn't like the one moment where you're like,
yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
Exactly.
But
it was
funny.
Solid.
Yeah,
it
I
was
liked
a really
it.
Solid episode. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I love Michael just calling Ryan an asshole
yeah.
and a bitch whenever he gets the chance to.
What up, my brother?
And that's the thing is like, I'm glad Ryan's not like.
Huge in, dick.
Well, no, he's not in a lot. Like, he's
yeah.
not overbearing. And when he is around, it, like,
it,
has a reason.
Yeah.
It's not like when Jan would just... Remember we talked about how
yeah.
Jan would show up? It's like, she's driving, like, 100 miles. Like,
yeah.
Or 500 miles a day.
She's driving 2 fucking hours
yeah,
just to get to Scranton.
It makes no sense. Like, it makes Ryan's visit, like, they have a mm-hmm. purpose, and he has a purpose as a character.
Exactly.
And
like, so, he's actually doing his job.
Yeah, I like that far. And, like, the fact that he's, like, calling and everything,
yeah.
and, like... imposing his will and Michael's like being obstinate about it a lot more
yeah.
than he was with Jan.
Yeah. I did like the one part where he initially calls Ryan and I didn't put it in because it was so small, but it really did get me giggling. And he's like, Ryan, I have a small problem. He goes, I told you not to call me about small problems. And he goes, yeah, but you don't like it when I call about the big problems either. So pick your poison. Like, you're going to hear from me either way.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking deal with it.
No, and you know, and that's another thing I should, Michael, was not overbearing.
Exactly.
Because this one, he actually, like, spelled out his case to Wallace and was reasonable, where he's like, if you don't like it in a day, just send the guys back and we'll do it
yeah.
your way. Like, he wasn't, like, insane.
No.
Or, like, over the
he
top.
Didn't
which
go over the top.
It's
exactly.
not like the next episode, which we're going to talk about, where he goes back to being, like, insane Michael.
Yeah.
Like, this was, like, a toned down Michael that I could get behind, that
mm-hmm.
I was into, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else. Do you have anything
Do you like
else?
The Andy Angela stuff?
It made me physically ill to hear him talk about some things, but...
It's odd. Like, I don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, it's a very odd bird. I feel like we have to let this one fly a little bit
yeah,
to
I'm
see how we like it.
Definitely going to, but, like, I'm not buying it. So, yeah, so
well, just, at some point, we still feel like she's just trying to get back at Dwight.
That's what it feels like. It feels like she's not into Andy, so you're just like, yeah, okay, we'll just
yeah.
see where it goes. You know,
I just love... We're physically just rubbing our necks against each other.
Literally nuzzling. Oh. But no, it was a good episode. And,
yeah, solid.
Can't wait to like hit the next one, man.
Yeah.
And
so,
what's that?
Up next, we have episode 6, Branch Wars, which Kevin will detail right after this.
From New York and New Jersey.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. In the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And thanks for joining us for the intermission halftime portion of the show.
Intermission.
This is the part of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at PlaceToBeNation.com, And that's what we're going to do right now, as I tell you about the PTBN Pop Feed, where weekly you can find the hard-traveling fanboys. And this time, this week, they're going off the page with a look at the end of the ill-fated 1999 cartoon Spider-Man Unlimited. Another weekly show is DC For You, and on the season finale, Todd and Russell talk about the thing they are thankful for from DC Comics this year and some of the big things they are looking forward to in the coming months. This Week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. Drew Locke with the Denver Broncos. We might have a quarterback of the future. Weekly, siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast. Huge. On the newest Diamond Conversations, the seventh episode features longtime Toronto Blue Jays announcer Jerry Howarth to discuss his book, Hello, Friends, Stories from My Life in Blue Jays Baseball. On the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Glenn and Scott continue Star Wars Month on PTBN Pop by examining John Williams' scores for the prequels. Hmm. What do you think about the prequel music? I know your husband likes it.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I am a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And my husband, he's like, you don't give the prequels a good enough chance, Mary. Think about how pumped up you get when you're like, he, like, loves it. Now, for his birthday, what he wanted to do was do a marathon of Star Wars, which is uncommon because he's not as big of a Star Wars fan as I am.
Uh-huh.
But to prepare ourselves for the new movie, we want to watch all of them.
Did you start with Phantom Menace?
Of course, we had to because that's what he wanted to watch. We watched the first three prequels in one day, and I'm like, give me episode 7.
Like,
please.
People don't want to listen about trade negotiations exactly. With, like, racist aliens.
But you know what's funny, though? When we watched episode 7 the other night,
not
he's
as
like,
good.
No, but he goes, this makes a lot, or not episode 7, I'm sorry, episode 4.
He goes,
this makes a lot more sense now. Like, the whole beginning when they're talking about, like, the Senate and everything.
Oh, he doesn't get all that.
He didn't. He's like, this makes a lot more sense now that we watch the prequels. I'm like, Jesus Christ, who are you?
That's all the prequels are good for. They're not good for entertainment. They're good for background, like, research.
Seriously.
On the newest special episode of The Great Debate, Andy is joined by Scott Criscolo and the co-host of the Geeks Who Like Sports podcast, Lee Elias and Ray Carcillo. Carcillo. To debate all things Star Wars, which, oh God, there's so much to debate about Star Wars.
There's a lot to debate. Can I just say Jar Jar Binks is even shittier?
Nobody even debates it because nobody takes the...
But it's even shittier now that I just watched the prequels. Like, it's fresh in my mind where I'm like, George Lucas, you sick son of a bitch, putting that on
us. It's funny because nobody will debate that nobody will take his side.
Exactly.
Misa need a beating. It's the fucking worst.
Misa fucked the entire galaxy.
He did. He's fucking worse.
Mm-hmm.
Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Wrestling feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Wrestling Warzone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Ginny and the Gems, Body Press Your Luck, and so much more. Subscribe today! And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Ginny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the greatest sitcom of all time tournament is now underway. We are in the opening play-in round. There will be 4 matchups per day, so make sure to like the tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. Now,
Did you see them today?
I voted today.
Okay.
Go through the matchups. Let's hear what we got.
Okay, so I'm going to start first. The Cleveland
That's
show.
That's yesterday's.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Thought it said 8 hours ago.
Yeah, here you go. These are the ones. Yeah.
Sorry, Kevin is a really big fan of That's So Raven. So when I saw that on there, I got really excited to bring it up.
That's So Raven.
Rules of Engagement are beating Whitney.
As it should.
Melissa and Joey is beating the Cool Kids.
The Cool Kids is the old people, right?
I think
that's the one, David Alan Grier, I think, yeah.
Girl Meets World is beating Gary Unmarried.
Stupid.
And Eastbound and Down is absolutely fucking hammering the Connors.
As it should be.
As it should be.
There's no reason that shouldn't be
happening.
None
whatsoever. But yeah, Kevin loves That's So Raven. Like, he'll literally...
Huge fan. Yeah.
He'll literally... Like, I'll say something, he's like, that's so Raven,
right? Anyway.
But it's beating Drake and Josh.
Oh, that's the guy.
Yeah.
The fat guy and the skinny guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God!
Is that what he did?
Yeah. That's he always used to freak out. Like,
oh, that was his thing because he was the fat guy.
Yeah, he was the fat guy.
Hey, fat guy, act like Chris Farley. You're funny. Come on. Hey, fat guy, be John Belushi.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
So, anyway.
So, be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. You got me all fucking weird. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you.
Yo, it's so easy to use, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shopped on
I gotta
the
use some
day.
Amazon
so
in
easy.
The next few days. I gotta get on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right?
Finally, for information on joining our GWWE PPV and TV Match Ever project, visit our social media pages as ballots are now open and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Final ballots are due 12/31/19. Guys, vote for Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 3. Greatest match ever. Fucking love it, dude. Well, let me tell you something, brother. That time I slammed Andre down, dude, and he died the next day.
I think Kevin's going to be reincarnated as fucking either Macho Man or Hulk Hogan.
They're dead. How can I be reincarnated?
They're not both dead.
Yes, they are. Oh, Hulk's
did
alive.
Not die.
I'm sorry.
He's
Macho
a human
Man's
hot dog,
that's right.
Kevin.
He is a human hot dog.
He is not dead yet.
He's a hot dog with a Fu Manchu.
I mean, yeah, but reincarnate. Oh, we're not going to get into that.
No, that's a thing.
That's
man.
A whole different conversation.
We could have
for
some great emails.
Podcast.
We might get some good emails.
There
from
you
that.
Go. It's a different podcast.
Anyway. So
anyway,
I put over Place to Be Nation, so why don't you put us over?
Absolutely. So, guys, keep it fun. Keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh.
We like to interact with all of you on our Twitter. You can reach out to us at BroSisPodcast. We love to get your feedback. We love to hear back whatever you guys think about the show. You can also email us at BrotherSisterRewatch. If you are not on Twitter or
hold
very
on,
new
on.
To Twitter.
BrotherSisterRewatch what?
At gmail.com. I got really excited because I'm like, I just started using Twitter recently because Kevin forced me to for the show.
I didn't force you. You like it.
Now I do,
you
but
perv, you perv.
But if you're like me and you didn't have a Twitter or you don't currently, you can hit us up at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com, all one word. Or again, if you are on Twitter, Place to Be Nation is always putting us over, retweeting us. We're hilarious. Totally reach out to us on @BroSisPodcast.
All right. And that brings us up to speed here.
Yep.
As we start season 4, episode 6, Branch Wars.
Woo! Let's do this, dude.
All right. So the cold open shows us a new office, a different office.
Yes.
And we find out that Karen Filippelli is the regional manager of the Utica branch.
Yes.
And she says, it turns out it's an easy gig when your boss isn't an idiot and your boyfriend doesn't love somebody else.
Yo, shots fired.
Wow.
Like Karen Filippelli.
Oh, loved it. So she says a Scranton salesperson has contacted her about a position.
Yep.
So Mike and Dwight step up or set up. They're setting up a dummy at his desk so he could play hooky like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, a la Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. Jesus. And Andy enters and he just ignores everything. He says he got an offer for more money from Utica and he's going to take it. And he just walks out.
But what I love is that he's just like, so why is it better that you're sleeping at your desk than you're not here at all?
He pokes holes through it immediately. So the show proper opens, and Mike is telling everyone Stanley is leaving to work for Karen for more money. And everyone starts
Everybody's
clapping.
Like, good for you,
they're
Stanley.
They're like, yeah, Stanley, woo!
Yeah!
So he claims that Karen is poaching him to be vindictive because Jim broke up with her.
He broke her heart.
Yes. So there's a talking head, and Michael does, about Stanley's smile. He's going to miss his sassy retorts and his bluesy wisdom.
And his like, red eyes.
Yeah, all these like weird comments. Like, kind of the race thing again, where, like, these are the words that come to Michael when he's...
Kind of?
These are the words that come to Michael when he thinks about Stanley. So, Mike has Stanley in his office. He wants him to stay, but, like, he doesn't have the money and the budget to do it.
Yep.
And he tells Stanley, well, come on, more money, more problems. You should know that.
Oh, my God.
Again, just kind of driving that point home. So, now we see Oscar, Toby, and Pam. In they have the Finer Things Club.
Yes.
And once a month, they meet up in the break room to discuss art and culture. And no work talk is allowed.
And there's no plastic either.
Oh, that's right. They have, like, actual china
and she's
flatware.
Like, she's like, I have the placemat. Don't forget the flatware. Yeah. Like, not glasses. The flatware. Yeah.
And, well, flatware is, like, silverware.
I thought Flatware. Never mind.
You're fine. You're fine. She's a domestic goddess, everyone.
Yeah. I cook, I bake, I do it all.
But it's almost like these three, because they show like B-roll of them in there, like eating finger sandwiches.
Oh, and they always dress up according to what book they're reading.
Oh, yeah, they like dress in period clothes.
They had sushi for Memoirs of a Geisha.
It's like they're acting how they imagine Frasier and Niles act. Like, that's basic. They're like being Frasier Crane, essentially.
Oh, my God.
So, Oscar does a talking head where he said, aside from sex with men, this is the gayest thing about me. And also, Jim is not allowed.
Yes.
So, Michael calls Karen on the phone, and he offers to trade Toby for Stanley. And then, like, he immediately admits he's bluffing because he can't say anything nice about Toby. He can't sell him. So, he threatens to poach one of her salespeople.
Oh, and she's real scared, yes, by the way.
So Pam gets their best salesman on the line, and Michael tries to win him over. And this guy responds with, "Aren't you the guy who hit a woman with a car?" And he says the rep of Scranton is worse than Camden.
Yeah.
Oh, which, I mean, if you've listened to the show, I think we've had a few shows where we've discussed Camden.
Yep.
Fucking horrible. It's a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
I just watched that last night.
Some good old Star Wars stuff.
We literally just watched that last night.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And it's probably the best line from it. It's the one line, that one, and that's no moon. That's a space station. Those are my favorite. But so Michael goes to Jim, upset about the bad rep that mm-hmm. they have, apparently. And he says that the two of them and Dwight are going to make a big sale because Staples dropped someone. And they're going to pick it up and they're going to show everyone, like, this is the great place and all this shit. So they're in the break room having this discussion.
As Pam is setting up the Finer Things Club.
And Toby enters wearing a bow tie.
Also, they're playing Vivaldi.
Yes, they're playing Vivaldi. It's like... Dun, dun, dun,
dun. It's like... Burr, burr, burr,
burr, burr, burr, burr. Yeah, it's like... It's very chipper.
Yeah.
You know,
it's British music.
Like, you imagine you walk into Frasier's apartment.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like fake conducting it and shit. And Toby enters wearing a bow tie and he has like this stack of
teacups. China.
And Mike just looks at him and goes, this is why people are leaving.
He looks right at the camera too, like, this is why.
And he's like it's the point
where
he's
so like, serious.
He has like nothing to say. He's just like, God, he's just like looking at him. It's like,
he's just disgusted.
It's insane. But I think the great thing about all this is that Michael is refusing to acknowledge the reason
that
why people,
him.
Yeah, why people would look at Scranton that way. That mm-hmm. it's actually him. It's almost like no one ever told him that before, or if they did, he willfully ignored it.
Yeah.
So we go, and the three of them are in Michael's car, a PT Cruiser. This is his third car this season now, because of all the accidents.
Well, he went into the Lakes Grant.
Well, that was the rental car, and the Sebring hit Meredith.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why he has this red PT Cruiser
Jesus
now.
Jesus Christ.
So Mike tells Jim they're going to Utica for a quote-unquote panty raid.
Yes.
Like, Jim gets, like, visibly upset, like, get me out of this fucking car right now.
The color drains from his fucking face.
Yeah, he knows what they're going into. They're going into the fucking lion's den, and he doesn't want
to. And
he
knows where Karen is.
Oh,
he's not a dummy.
So he tries to use his phone to, like, call, like, a cab, and fucking Dwight takes it and throws it out the window.
Did you notice what kind of phone it was?
Was that a flip phone?
It was a Razor.
Razor, yeah. Well, yeah,
this was huge in 2007,
I think this is still before the smartphones came
out. Yeah.
Like,
the Razor was, like, the biggest thing.
Oh, God, in college. If you had a Razor, man, you were cool as shit.
Well, for me, high school, because I'm significantly younger than you.
Not significantly younger than me. When you hit that big milestone next year, we'll see you talking about your youth.
Next year.
So, Jim's like, oh, all my brother's baby's pictures
were
on that phone.
My brand new baby is on that phone.
Not my brand new baby.
No, his brand new baby.
Yes. So, the next scene we see, they're on the side of the road searching for it. Like, Michael immediately pulled over. And they find it, and Jim says, like, I'm just going to call a cab.
Yeah.
And then, like, Mike and Dwight start talking about their grand plan.
Oh, my God.
And what they're going to do. And this
is terrifying.
The visual is awesome, because Michael's like, oh, we got silly string. And Dwight pulls out a fucking Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
And he's like, look at all this. And Jim's like, we're driving with this in the car. Like, this is
like, I have rubber so we can make stink bombs or real bombs. Yeah.
And Jim's like, no, not real bombs. He's like, oh, it'll be fun. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Dwight's like a
he
lunatic.
He talks Michael into it. He's like, oh, but it could be good. He's like, could be fun. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe stink bombs, maybe real bombs.
It's fucking insane. Like, and so we see a talking head with Jim where he says, the deal is I wear a costume and a mustache and Dwight doesn't blow anything up. So he agrees to go for that reason. So we go back, and the three of them...
He's wearing Midge's
Yes.
Warehouse outfit.
It's all baggy also. On them. Yeah. So they're in. The three of them are back in the car, and they look like the fucking Mario Brothers with these mustaches.
I took a picture of it. It was too good not to.
It's going on Twitter, guys. You'll see it on the Twitter soon.
It's so funny.
And what's that face with his eyes?
Oh, that's later.
That's later. Yes. Seriously, it's like Mario and Luigi and their brother, like Guido. It's hilarious. So they're driving in the car, and like all of a sudden they hear this noise, and Dwight is pissing in an empty soda can. And like Jim starts freaking out, Mike swerves, and all you hear is Dwight say, "I think I cut my penis on the lip.
You're making me spray."
Yeah, like
but like, he has that mustache. Yeah,
and he's like hunched over in the back. Like Jim turns around and sees his dick. Like it's
he has to.
It's fucking madness.
Just like, the way he's like, "You're making me spray. I think I cut my penis on the lip."
Well, that's the thing. He yells, "You're making me spray," but then he's calm. He's like, "I think I cut my penis." Like that's calm. I'd be freaking out. Like if that razor sharp edges of a soda can. Ugh.
But I love like when he screams, like, "You're making me spray." I equate that back to launch parties. Hey.
So the thing about this that I find funny is that it was all unexpected because so it starts. They get the phone and Jim does the talking head where he's like, "They're not going to blow anything up. I'm going to go." And then you just see them in the car and you're like, "Oh, this is just a transition to show Jim's with them." But no, it kept escalating. It was like the pee and like Michael's talking about like, "Oh, was the sex bad with Karen?" Like,
oh my,
the
dialogue asking is why they broke up.
Like, it just escalates to the point where Dwight cuts his penis on a soda can. It's fucking great. So we go back and the Finer Things Club is in session.
Yes.
And Andy tries to join in.
Oh, yeah, he has their finger sandwiches.
And he has the book that they're reading. And they tell him it's a closed club and basically kick him out.
Yeah.
So, which is weird. He's a Cornell grad. That's Ivy League, man.
But he's obnoxious.
Yeah, but he's upper crust.
But he's obnoxious.
So is fucking Oscar.
Oscar is annoying. He's not obnoxious. I guess. Maybe. There's a difference.
So we go back to Utica, and they arrive. And Jim says he's not leaving the car.
Nope.
So Mike and Dwight are devising the plan, and they see Karen, like, walking across the parking lot, and they roll out. Jim puts the chair back all the way, like laying down.
But like at this point, they're talking about like, "Okay, so what are you going to do?" And they're like, "We're going to go silly string this stuff." And they're like, "What if you see a security guard?" And he's like, Dwight goes, "I will grind up this chalk and blow it in his eye."
First he says he's going to stab him in the eye.
With the chalk.
Yeah. And he says, I'll grind it up and spray it in his eyes. Yeah. So like,
Jim's like, "No eyes.
Leave the eyes alone."
Jesus.
So they roll out, and we go back, and the club is discussing the book they're reading.
Yes.
While Kevin uses the vending machine and starts beating the shit out of it because it's stuck. You know how you like shake it back and forth? And it's like distracting as he beats it up. And then Phyllis is like using the microwave. I swear to God, for like 3 minutes, beep, beep, beep. She's hitting buttons, just like hitting it. And like Oscar loses his shit.
He does.
Like, "What are you doing?
What are you microwaving?"
And she says she's making popcorn.
Right? They're like, use the microwave in the kitchen.
And she says, "I can't. It smells like popcorn.
Somebody has to clean it. It smells like popcorn." Popcorn.
You're very Wisconsin.
Oh, my God. But I'm like, I hate you, Phyllis. In that moment, I hated Phyllis.
And then we get another casual racist comment here as Andy tells Stanley that he'll miss him. "You've been like a kind old Uncle Remus."
Oh, my God. This whole thing is just...
It's insane.
What?
It's insane.
How... I think his name is Leslie. I can't remember his last
name. Leslie Allen Baker.
Yeah.
This is Stanley's actor.
He is a great comedian.
Well, it's a comedy show. Like,
no,
it's
I know,
serious.
But it's just like...
Oh, his reactions?
Yeah.
So Mike and Dwight are now inside the Utica branch.
Yeah.
And they're on a walkie-talkie with Jim, who's in the car. And Dwight really wants to injure a security guard.
Oh, my God.
And they just show a talking head of Dwight. "Eyes are the groin of the head." So,
but like they hear him on the walkie-talkie, he's like, "Hello there, security guard.
Yeah.
We are warehouse workers. Do you need any further identification?"
Yeah, talking all stilted,
he's baiting him,
all fucking weird. So Mike and Dwight,
I can see his eyes.
So they're going to steal an industrial copier,
which apparently is the crown jewel of the Utica brand.
Have you ever seen one? Do you have any frame of reference?
Yes, they are massive.
Are they? I've never seen one before.
I mean, the big ones that we had at the office, like, they come up to, like, above my chest.
How cumbersome are these instruments?
They're probably about 3.5 feet
long and then 4 feet tall?
Yeah, 4 feet tall. Like, they're pretty big.
It's a big piece of equipment.
Yeah, they're heavy.
All right, so they're going to steal it. And Jim's like, no, that's a bad idea. And, like, they come to a set of steps, I guess. And you just hear this massive crash and all this yelling. They're hurt.
My hip bone.
Yeah, and I think it's Dwight. Leave.
Leave without us.
Yeah. And Mike's like, no, don't. He's like panicking. And it's at this point Jim sees Karen and ducks down, but the camera doesn't.
Nope. Camera's dick here.
Yo, the camera's always a dick. So she spots it and comes to his car and, like, knocks on the window. And, of course, Jim's laying down dressed like Luigi wearing a woman's... You know,
a woman's warehouse uniform and a mustache.
So Mike on the walkie, you just hear, if I don't make it, host the Dundies.
Yeah.
That's his last wish, is that Jim do that. But, like, Jim's embarrassed as fuck here.
Yeah.
And so we go back, and the three of them are on a couch in Karen's office.
Being
and she's
scolding.
She's scolding them like a schoolmarm
at
this point. And she asks why he's there. Oh, no, this is when he's in the car. She asks why he's there. That's when she hears Michael over the talkie. And she does a talking head. I cried over him for weeks. So seeing him crawl out of a PT Cruiser in a women's warehouse uniform was pretty good.
Yep.
That's Karen. That's catharsis.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. So the three of them are in her office now, and Dwight's, like, being defiant. And Mike says he cares about his employees. And if you hurt Stanley, I will burn Utica to the ground.
Yeah.
So they leave.
Burn Utica to the ground.
They leave, and she has Jim
stay back, yeah.
And thinks he wanted to see her.
She's like, if you wanted to see me, you could have just called me.
Yeah, it becomes a thing. And he didn't. He tells her him and Pam are doing well.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't want to see you. He's like, it's nice to see you, but Pam and I are doing really well, and we're still dating.
And that lit the fuse. She gets all edgy.
Yo!
She's like, oh, it's good to know that the guy who left me for another woman is doing really well with her, and he destroyed my industrial copier that I have to get. Like, she's just, like, fucking reading him the riot act.
Good,
like,
for her.
Oh, that was, like I said, Pam making fun of Jim in the last episode, and then seeing Karen ream him this one, and, like, seeing how embarrassed Jim was, it was nice. Yeah.
And
was
that's
nice.
Where I took a photo of that one as well, guys.
When she starts talking about that.
That'll be up on the Twitter when she's like, oh, it's really nice to hear how great your relationship's going. And he's like, wow.
I think I made that face in high school a few times, that one. Ooh, I fucked up.
Yep.
So they return back to the Scranton branch, and Mike says they failed, and he wishes Stanley farewell and gives him a box to pack his stuff. And he calls Pam to his office. He says he wants to dictate a want ad. So he's laying on his floor, all forlorn. And he goes, oh, I want a middle-aged black man with sass. A big butt, bigger heart.
Yep.
And that's when Stanley comes in. And he says he changed his mind. And on a talking head, he says, I just wanted a raise. And Michael called my bluff.
Yeah. I don't know how he did it.
Is he a super genius? And then he starts laughing. He's like, Michael Scott. So we go back and outside, and Pam invites Jim to the Finer Things Club.
To cheer him up.
Yes, and they're sitting...
Because she's too good for him.
They're sitting there, and Toby, Oscar, and Jim in the next meeting are wearing, like, cabbie hats.
Yeah,
or,
big potatoes in front of them.
Yeah, so it's obviously about the famine. It's some I forget what the novel
is. Angela's Ashes.
Oh, okay. And Pam is wearing a babushka.
Yep.
Which we've talked about before, too, for some reason.
Yep.
But, Oscar is not a fan of Jim, like, making light of things.
No, because Jim's like, oh, yeah, you did this, you did that. Yeah, like a bad Irish accent.
This is how Michael would act.
Yeah, exactly.
And Toby realizes, like, he didn't read the book. And him and Oscar are, like, kind of, like, pissed off.
What's your favorite character? Well, because Jim's like, oh, it was a fun read. And they're like, oh, what was fun? The death of the twins? Toby's just going after him.
Get dark. And, well, you know, Toby has like
a vendetta. Oh, yeah. He's trying to destroy the relationship. They're like, who's the main character, Jim? He's like, Angela? No, the Ash? No.
Yeah. And as he's like grasping for straws, Pam just apologizes.
Yeah, she mouths, I'm sorry to them.
And that is the end of the episode. So, tell me, Bear, what did you think?
Okay, so, I did think this one was funny. I gave it a 4.3 because I thought it was funny. I had a lot of really good laughs, and they really did have fantastic one-liners throughout this entire episode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I can't even say just one-liners because it's like that entire car dialogue.
The entire car scene is fucking madness.
The bomb making, the cutting his penis on the lid, you're making me spray. Like, but even back at the office, like, the whole thing, Karen fucking reading Jim the Riot Act, like...
Yes.
This whole thing was, I really, really enjoyed this episode.
Even the finer thing stuff was okay as like a B plot.
Yeah.
You know, to fill up those times.
Absolutely.
Like, I didn't mind that at all. It gave Oscar Toby some depth.
And it gave Andy something to do.
Yeah, Andy being a bitch.
Yep.
So overall, I enjoyed it. I gave it 3.9.
Okay.
I liked it that much. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's much to talk about. I mean, the best part is that Jim finally got it.
Yeah, Jim.
Because I almost feel like it was...
He got his comeuppance.
I wish it was sooner, in a way. Because it's been 3 weeks since we talked about the breakup.
Yeah.
And not only this but in real time, if you're a fan of the show, it's like you saw Jim ask Pam out in May at the season finale. And then this is episode 6. It's probably like... Halloween time.
But remember how we set it up last year or last season, though? Like, people cheered for Jim and Pam because we've been rooting for them the whole time.
Yeah.
I've watched it how many times? And until now, I'm like, wow, Jim was really a big dick to Karen.
Oh, huge dick.
Like, the last two times I watched it, including this one, is when I only just now started realizing, like, wow, Jim Halpert was kind of a dick there.
He's not a good man.
No.
He let a woman...
Because everybody's like, yay, Jim and Pam are together!
When she says that she cried for weeks, like, that tells you the depth of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she was in love. She thought this was the guy. There was a future.
Yeah.
And, like, he just kicked her in the face.
He left her in New York City.
Yeah, he fucking abandoned her. What an asshole. So it was good to see that.
I'm glad that Karen came back, because I know you were upset about her.
Very upset.
Not getting any, like, closure in the last, when they did break up. So I'm glad that she came back, and that she got to kind of, like, give Jim a piece of her mind.
Also, the ride to Utica is not short.
No.
That's like a two and a half hour drive.
At least, yeah.
Because that's up going towards Albany.
Yeah.
Upstate, so. But overall, I liked it. I laughed a lot. I thought it was good. I thought, like, once again, it was another one where I laughed. I was entertained. It flew by.
Yep.
And not just because of the time, but because it was
nonstop
quality.
Humor.
Yeah. It was quality, and it wasn't, like... The thing is, like, you can love both types. Like, Money had a serious component that I really liked.
Yeah.
And these were very lighthearted, and I loved them just as much.
Exactly.
You know, like, I thought it was great. So absolutely. I really have nothing to complain about. I can only praise these two episodes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I had a really good time this week.
Abso-fucking-lutely. So
next week...
Yes.
We have a surprise for
you guys. Surprise! A Zoom-prise!
We have decided that in honor of Christmas, and since season 14 was cut so tragically...
No, hold on.
Season 4 was cut so tragically short with only 14 episodes, that we are going to do a Christmas special that is not The Office.
That's right. We're going to do a little Christmas surprise for all of our listeners. This will be coming out on the 23rd.
Yes.
So it'll get you ready for Christmas Eve for some eggnog, gingerbread men... Doing gifts and shit like that. So.
Sit down, cozy up next to the fire, and listen to the brother-sister rewatch.
And what are we going to be, should we tell them?
I think we could probably do hints throughout the week. Let's do hints, right?
We're going to do hints on Twitter, guys.
Yeah, we'll do hints on Twitter and see if anybody, and whoever can guess first can get a shout-out on the show.
That's right. We'll go, hey, you, guy. In Boston, or wherever the fuck you listen to this.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you knew, man. You knew. But yeah, we're going to have a special Christmas edition of the show that we're kind of psyched about. We just kind of came up with it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a blast. But absolutely. After that, do you have the season 4 that'll take us after Christmas?
I do, dude. The next episode, season 7, Survivor Man.
No idea.
And episode 7, Survivor Man. Episode 8. The Deposition.
No clue.
Whew.
Wait, does that have to do with Hannah?
We are in for it.
Oh, really?
We'll just say that.
All right. Well, this was a great episode, I think.
I really had fun this week, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to do it again for Christmas week.
I'm really excited.
I'm so geeked. All right. But until then, guys, we hope you have a good week, and we'll catch you next time.
Remember to follow us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast, guys, and email us your thoughts, or if you want to... Take a guess at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts. And thank you again for another amazing week. We'll talk to you guys soon.